Whew, very chills. Thank you, Daisy. All right, our scripture is found in John 19:30. Reading from the New King James Version, it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." If you'll kneel with me, we'll pray. Father in heaven, I first ask that you forgive us our sins that added to the load your son carried. And Father, we praise you for the plan that you had in place, that you would create a road to salvation for us, a fallen world. And Father, we praise your son Jesus for his willingness to follow that plan until it was finished. Father, I pray that you be with us this morning, this special service, as we have a couple of memorial events that we remember of the cross and the rest on Sabbath and the triumphant resurrection. And Father, we also have the memorial of communion that you instructed us to do at the Last Supper. And I pray that you'll be with us in those events and that our hearts will be prepared and ready to remember those moments. I pray you'll be with us, Pastor, that you'll speak through him words that will resonate your power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It was around 3 p.m. in the afternoon, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, "It is finished." One afternoon, not long before, back in Samaria, he had told the disciples, "My food is not, excuse me, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work." Now that great work of redemption is finished. That great transaction is done. But to really see the significance of the cross event more fully, we must go back. We must go back a few hours. And then we can gain a perspective from the Mount of Olives and its small private garden called Gethsemane. And there we'll learn that for Jesus, his work was to drink a cup. "Let this cup pass from me," he said. I can just picture in my mind being in that garden, hearing the breeze flowing through the olive trees. I can hear the sound of some people sleeping too, perhaps snoring. because his disciples were just completely exhausted. And then I hear the sounds and the groans of a man who's in complete agony. The psalmist wrote that his cup was running over with gladness. But Jesus' cup was one of anguish and bitterness. It represented Jesus' chosen lot in our behalf. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away everyone from his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The thought of the crucifixion as agony and shame actually made Jesus shriek. He would have been less of a man if he had not felt, if he felt otherwise. Think about it. Jesus' humanity is no place clearer than in the Garden of Gethsemane. His humanity really comes forth. His humanity shows forth in the garden like never before. It's natural for him to dread that horrible experience as he looks forward to what's going to happen. And to pray that he might be spared it. Humanly speaking, that's natural. But there is more than just physical agony to be endured. Jesus also was facing the desertion of his friends. Friends were all leaving him. He knew that. And then there's the mockery of that crowd. Of course, the wrath of God against sin. More than all this, I think the hardest part had to be when his heavenly Father looked away and Jesus felt forsaken of God. Surely is. It was more than any human man could ever stand. What a bitter cup. And yet Jesus drank it. He drank it to the end that we, you and myself, would be saved. He went forward with it. Jesus' ministry in death also was a road to travel. Yeah. Jesus' journey was a way of shame and suffering, but he traveled it, bearing the sin of all of us. And we can trace that route, if you like, just for a moment. Messiah was promised and eagerly waited for centuries. Then he was born to Mary in Bethlehem, baptized by John in the Jordan River. He was tempted by Satan in the Judean wilderness. He taught, he preached, he healed many, and he gave many signs of the kingdom to come. He was acknowledged as the Messiah by his disciples in Caesarea Philippi. He journeyed to Jerusalem, and with it, the confrontation with his enemies, and then the cross. He died on that cross. And then the stone was rolled away. It was rolled away on that early Easter morning. And he rose from the dead by the power of God. Praise God. What a journey. And now it's finished. Now it's finished. And he is at home with his Father in glory. The long and tortuous road had a beautiful destination. But what a road he traveled. The life and death of Jesus was also a price to pay. The cross was not some thoughtless bargain between God and Satan. No. This is where the ransom theory of the atonement defiles full explanation. Yet in a way we cannot fully comprehend or explain it, Jesus paid our sin debt on the cross. The price of sin was too high for you and me to pay. Jesus paid it all. Every bit of it. Total. Complete. As far as paying, we don't owe a cent. He paid it all. Totally. You're free. All you have to do is believe, commit your life to Jesus. That's all you have to do. Jesus summed up the meaning of his sacrifice when he said these words: "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends." Look again, once again, at these powerful metaphors and think and contemplate of his atonement. A cup to drink. A road to travel. A price. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. All these commemorate in our ordinance of the Lord's Supper. There's a painting from World War I that is really intriguing to me. It portrays a scene of no man's land between the two fighting trenches during World War I. No man's land. An Allied signal officer goes out into no man's land because the communications line is broken. And he goes out there to put it back together, to repair it. And just as he takes hold of those wires and pulls them together, bang! He's shot and killed. And he's laying there with the two lines in his hands. The name of the painting is Through. Sin severed the communication lines between you and God. Between heaven and earth. And Christ, by dying on that cross, restored our communications and our fellowship with our Creator. But it cost him his life. Thank you, Jesus. For the cup you drank, for the road you traveled, and for the price you paid. Thank you for redemption and restoration. Let us thank him.
More than it shows. Father, please, can't you?
Seventh-day Adventist Church practices open communion, so you're all welcome to partake in the communion service. We'll read the scripture reading, and then Elder Rod and myself will kneel, have prayer, and then the deacons will pass the emblems. The scripture I choose to read is 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 24. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the bread, and then he gave thanks. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
And continuing, 26, 25 and 26, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Father God, what a sacrifice that you gave for each of us, beyond our comprehension, even what the full meaning of it is, but we thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you. And as we partake of this bread, as a symbol of your broken body, we just ask you to bless it. and to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father in heaven, I ask you to bless this cup that represents the blood of your Son that was shed for us. It was shed for the sins of this world of which we are a part. Father, your Son's blood was and is powerful, pure. It is just, and it was innocent. And it was yet shed for our sins. And Father, I ask you to bless this as we do this in remembrance of that sacrifice and in celebration of what it brings us to an opportunity to have with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Gray leaves were kind to him.
Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body broken for you.
Jesus took the cup. This is my blood, poured out for many. Let us drink it all.
Then Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Praise God. As I look at scriptures and think, you know, Jesus had that stone rolled away for Lazarus. And then the angels rolled away that stone for Jesus. And you know what? Jesus is still rolling stones.
Too far gone.